Okay, so tactical strategy number six, honestly, is a part of tactical strategy number five. It's like one example of how to do it. I wanted to separate the two because I think there's some specific things you can do in nonprofit leadership that are important to talk about, but they're really related very closely. And let me, once I cover it, you'll see why. As we mentioned when we discussed the success principle, the key behind nonprofit leadership is you are able to gain access to affluent people that normally you wouldn't have access to if you are engaged in a nonprofit organization. The wealthiest people typically in a community are very active in charities and nonprofit organizations that they connect to. So my tactical strategy advice to you is to think about the nonprofit and the charities that you have a passion for, that you care about. You know, maybe someone, a loved one, has suffered from Alzheimer's or a cancer or had heart disease or any number of health issues that there's a nonprofit or charity that focuses on. Or it could be, or in addition to, the performing arts. It might be something you have a passion, you love, you know, whether it's opera, whether it's theater, whether it's a symphony. But, you know, find something that you care about, but also that wealthy people are part of. You know, in the past, it was so difficult to get this information, but now it's very easy to get. So once you've kind of matched your passion with affluence or affluent individuals, you're ready to go. Step one is you have to absolutely be a leader. You can't be passive about this. You have to roll up your sleeves and you've got to get involved. You've got to showcase your talents and your ability to your target market. And as I mentioned before, there's a halo effect. They see you do well there, they're going to assume you're a great financial advisor, and they're going to be drawn to you as a person because you have a similar passion that they do about a particular nonprofit or charity or performing arts or whatever it is subject. So you're going to have a natural connection. They're going to admire you for the work that you do, and you're going to have the opportunity to develop a personal relationship. This takes patience. It takes a while for it to occur, but as you begin to develop these personal relationships and connect with people, then you're going to have the opportunity to talk about what it is you do because affluent people are interested in talking to you about it. They're interested in investments. They're interested in what you think once they know what it is you do. And so the key to this is, again, just like the right place, right people, develop personal relationships, do things with them, be involved with them, and when they bring up the subject, you go into the transition, similar to what we talked about in the last tactical strategy. You're prepared, you're ready, and you're able to transition from the personal to the business in a way you never could with these people if you weren't involved. There are pitfalls to this strategy that I've seen. In fact, you know, there's a number of advisors I've worked with before that never get anything out of this strategy. And the reason is they are not leaders and they don't have their transition lines ready. They don't know how to transition from the personal to the business. And so by being actively involved and being prepared with your transition lines, you are going to absolutely be successful with this. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't have the money to join a board. You know, sometimes it can be $25,000, $30,000 to be a board member. That's okay. If you're involved on a committee, you don't necessarily have to be a board member. You're going to still have exposure in the board. And as your success with this and your success in your business increases, then obviously you can pay to play, as they use in the nonprofit world. Many of the top advisors started on a small scale. They started with the Kiwanis Club. They started with their alumni organization. They started with Ducks Unlimited in one case. They were involved in Chamber of Commerce, things that didn't cost a lot of money. But as they became more successful, they continued to raise the ante and be involved in more and more high-profile non-leadership situations. One example of this that I think is important to talk about is Donna. Donna moved from the East Coast to a very affluent city in the Rocky Mountain region. And she realized that she had a great opportunity, but the ways that she had prospected and marketed before weren't going to work because she couldn't get access to the people she needed to get to in this particular community. So she made a commitment and basically followed the track that I just described. She researched the organization, she became a leader, she let people know what she did in a very discreet kind of a way, she developed the personal relationships, she had the transition lines ready, and 5 years into this, she had some success along the way, but last year, which was essentially her fifth year, she brought in $70 million of new assets, and all of it was related to relationships that she had established through nonprofit organizations that turned into business relationships. So this absolutely works. You know, just a couple other ideas that I'll share with you is raising money for the organization is an excellent way to get in front of people that you want to get in front of. I mean, if you're a board member or you're actively involved, they're going to give you a list of names of past contributors. And it's a great way to meet those people. An offer to, you know, at the next time that there's a charity auction or a table, invite those people to be your guests. It's a great way to start the relationship. Another technique is to look for nonprofits that maybe don't have a lot of money in their foundation, but have a who's who of board members. There's no competition to manage that money because there isn't a lot, but it gives you access to the board members that are part of that smaller foundation. And then finally, I know a number of top advisors that started their own nonprofit, a lot of times related to the school that their children went to. In one example, a dad's club was formed. In another example, a debate program was instituted. And these advisors that did that got a lot of terrific press. And they became leaders of these endeavors that they developed and met a lot of wealthy people that they wanted to get in front of as a result of starting kind of their own nonprofit for the benefit of a school. I will assure you that if you follow this track and you get involved, that over the course of a year, that you can bring in at least 4 affluent relationships. When you think about Donna's success of $70 million in assets, that says it all. And so if you take this seriously or involved, you can have a lot of success with this tactical strategy. Okay, so